This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. It's a Tuesday. It's not a Friday. Look, Chris, I'm in a Friday mood. Sorry, you're in a Monday mood, but I'm in a Friday mood. But it is Tuesday. A couple more things really quickly on this divide between the left and tribalism and things like that. And then we're going to move on, talk about some things Trump said in Saudi Arabia today. House GOP's telling bald-faced lies. Joe Biden's media is still lying. Emails and so much more coming up this hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, remember this, Ashley Allison is her name. I'm going to make something crystal clear. This lady used to work for Joe Biden. Now, before I get to Donald Trump and Saudi Arabia, think for a moment about all the things Donald Trump does. Now, I don't care whether you love him or hate him. It doesn't matter. But think about just what you see, the meetings and the flying. And think about all the job of the American president, jobs of the American president. It's an intense job. Well, we didn't have a functional adult as president for 4 years. So who ran the country? And how in the world could one man destroy so much in 4 years? Allow me to introduce you once again to Ashley Allison. She not only thinks this way, she was a former Biden staffer. If you'd like to know why the United States government turned unbelievably evil for 4 years and did so much evil for 4 years, it's because this was the president.
The people who are native to that land deserve their rightful land back. That is not what the Afrikaners actually want to have happen, which are the white Africans. And so who are not originally from Africa, who colonized South Africa also.
You know, the African National Congress, they put out a statement about Trump taking in the Afrikaners. It's just a couple paragraphs if you'd like to read it, but I think maybe the most revealing part is right here in the fourth paragraph where they say this, quote, "What the instigators of this falsehood seek is not safety, but impunity from transformation. They flee not from persecution, but from justice, equality," and this is the best part, "and accountability for historic privilege." When you hear these people talk,
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying to you, we've not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future. Especially if things are going the way they are, there will be a revolution in this country, I can tell you now.
Do not think for a single second the American left thinks any differently. And this is yet another reminder. Get familiar with firearms. You are blessed to live in a place where you can own them, train with them. And that's a really, really, really important thing. It is. As uncomfortable as this may be for you to understand, there are people in this country who would happily butcher you. They would. So plan accordingly. Now, Trump was over in Saudi Arabia. They rolled out a couple things for Trump's visit in Saudi Arabia. Now, let's just go over a couple things about Saudi Arabia first. First, you know how we talk about trillionaire? There might be a trillionaire one day. There probably will be a trillionaire one day. There are a lot of people, very smart people, people I know, who tell me there already are trillionaires. They're in Saudi Arabia. the Saudi royal family, they believe, are trillionaires with the T, just sitting on an ocean of oil, just sitting on an ocean of money. And the funny thing about that money is when you have that much money and yet you don't have the number of people, the infrastructure to maintain, I'm not saying it's a nothing country at all, it's not, but you can do some crazy things with the money. For instance, I have heard, I've obviously never seen with my own eyes, I have heard there are palaces over there for the royal family where it is normal for you to get around the palace on a scooter because nobody will walk that far. An electric scooter, you get on it, hey, I'll meet you in the living room, hold on, and you got to take your little scooter through. Maybe if you're Pete Buttigieg, you get your husband to hop on the back and you just cruise over to the living room. You get what I'm saying? Money, lots of it. And people who come into vast quantities of wealth will oftentimes do some really extravagant and sometimes dumb things with the wealth. I saw my buddy Jack Posobiec actually said today about the McDonald's truck thing that new money always acts like this is what Jack said. I want to make sure he gets credit for it, but it's so incredibly true. They brought out a McDonald's truck for Trump. How do you even come up with that beforehand? I didn't even know that was a thing, a McDonald's truck, like serving McDonald's. And then he gets there and they have all these royal horses and whatnot escorting his vehicle. It was the most over the top thing in the world because they're flush with cash. Trump talked about a lot of things over there. Iran was the main point.
With that said, Iran can have a much brighter future, but will never allow America and its allies to be threatened with terrorism or nuclear attack. The choice is theirs to make. We really want them to be a successful country. We want them to be a wonderful, safe, great country. But they cannot have a nuclear weapon. This is an offer that will not last forever. The time is right now for them to choose. Right now, we don't have a lot of time to wait.
I got the sense with that and a lot of other things Trump said, I'll play you a couple of them, that we are really at a tipping point when it comes to Iran and war. And I don't like this at all. The prospect of another war over there just sickens me. In fact, it sickens every GWAT veteran I know. Just we've seen the failures. We know how this goes, but he was talking about this.
I believe it is God's job to sit in judgment, my job to defend America and to promote the fundamental interest of stability, prosperity, and peace. That's what I really want to do. I will never hesitate to wield American power if it's necessary to defend the United States or to help defend our allies. And there will be no mercy for any foe who tries to do us or them harm. We will have no mercy. They understand that. That's why I've been pretty lucky. A lot of people think, you know, he's looking to fight. He's looking to fight and things get settled. It's an amazing thing when they really think you mean it. But we do. We have the greatest military, the strongest military, stronger than any. Nobody's even close. We have the best weapons in the world, but we don't want to use them. If you threaten America or our partners, however, then you'll be faced with overwhelming strength and devastating force. We have things that you don't even know about, you don't hear about.
Sounds like a man. That's known as rattling sabers, if you will. A lot of this talk.
I'm here today not merely to condemn the past chaos of Iran's leaders, but to offer them a new path and a much better path toward a far better and more hopeful future. As I've shown repeatedly, I am willing to end past conflicts and forge new partnerships for a better and more stable world, even if our differences may be very profound, which obviously they are in the case of Iran. I have never believed in having permanent enemies. I am different than a lot of people think. I don't like permanent enemies, but sometimes you need enemies to do the job and you have to do it right. Enemies get you motivated. In fact, some of the closest friends of the United States of America are nations we fought wars against in generations past. And now they're our friends and our allies.
Okay. Well, it was a big saber-rattling thing for Iran. Remember the history here. And there's a lot of history here. It's ugly. But Iran, they fund terror. Our guys in Iraq who were getting blown up. Remember, we had that initial invasion into Iraq that I was part of. But it actually, Iraq got worse after I left. When I tell people I was part of the initial invasion, you could normally get a lot of, oh, it was like, wow, you must have saw the worst of it. And yeah, it wasn't pleasant by any stretch of the imagination, but all that IED stuff, that came after me. Why? Because Iran started training militants, providing material and training to militants to go into Iraq and blow our guys up. There are a lot of brave Americans who are now dead because of Iran, who are now maimed because of Iran. This is what they do. That missile bomb we sent after Qasem Soleimani, remember that under Trump's first presidency? Yeah, that was in part a response to what Iran had done to us in Iraq. There's a lot of history here. Let's just hope it doesn't turn into war. That's not a good thing for anybody. Contrary to what anybody's telling you, yet another Middle Eastern war is not a positive thing. I believe Trump is making these threats to avoid that, and that is a good thing, and he should be credited for that. Enough of all that nonsense. Let's talk about fist fighting a kangaroo and do some emails. Before we do that, let me talk to you about Relief Factor, because, man, are you going to be sore after you fist fight a kangaroo. And in fact, I don't even know if Relief Factor can help you there, but Relief Factor can help with your daily pain. The daily pain that plagues you. You wake up and rub your hands. What is when you wake up in the morning, what's the thing that hurts that you know is going to hurt when you get out of bed? Is it your foot when it hits the ground? Your knee, your back, you're going to do the thing when you get up. Why don't you just try Relief Factor? I'm not asking for a lifetime commitment. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Just try it. If it doesn't work after 3 weeks, I'm not even asking for three more. Just stop. Don't order anymore. Relief Factor works. It'll take the pain out of your life. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Just try it. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Man died of blunt force injuries at U.S. Zoo after a suspected kangaroo fight. Apparently, I'm not laughing because he's dead. All right, I'm not laughing. He's dead. It's serious. But apparently there was a kangaroo in an enclosure at the child's petting zoo. And apparently this dude got in and duked it out with one. And my only point on this is, I don't know how much you know about zoos or animal farm places, but let me give you a couple little tidbits from the Kelly household. We have traveled a lot as a family because I was always working construction or driving across the country looking for work. I was out of work. This is the life that we've had as a family. And not only is my wife an animal freak, my boys love animals. They're boys. So maybe you have only been to one or two zoos, or maybe you've never been to a zoo in your life. But allow me to tell you something. There are levels of zoos you can't possibly imagine. For instance, if I say zoo, maybe you're picturing the famous San Diego Zoo. I've done the San Diego Zoo. Did it with a couple little kids with the little double stroller pushing them all over the place. I've done the San Diego Zoo. Love it. Great place. I've done the Nashville Zoo. Super underrated. Nashville Zoo. Great. New York. Central Park. We've done all the zoos. Okay. But there are sub-level zoos. We went to a zoo once. Here in Texas. Actually, I've been to a couple of them in Texas. There was a zoo we went to where for a fee, you could feed the alligators yourself And I don't mean holding out a stick with a chicken on it. They would allow you to use your hand and hold out. It was a drumstick. It was a raw drumstick, a piece of chicken. Hold out a drumstick and allow the alligator to grab the chicken from your hand. Did I do it, Chris? Of course I did it. That's beside the point. You shouldn't allow people to do that. Just because I did it doesn't mean anyone else should do it. Yes, I did it. We went to a zoo one time. We didn't know who to report this to, but some of the animals were sick or injured, and nobody was caring for them. And it wasn't even a zoo. It was somebody's backyard where they had fenced in a couple different areas. We went to this one. This was in the San Antonio area. This one snake farm it was sold at. I'm sure everyone's going to blow up their website now looking for the place. One of the greatest, scariest things I've ever done in my life. It was somebody's like three-bedroom house that they had converted into a, quote, snake farm, and they had the deadliest snakes in the world, and they had them by rank, black mamba and taipans and everything else, and they weren't even, it was awful. To be honest with you, I like when predators are allowed to roam. I said all this, and I hate zoos because I like when animals are allowed to roam. I really love animals, too, but you could get, they had black mambas just like in a big tub, and you could sit there and stare at it, get right next to it. The fact that there's a zoo in South Carolina that would facilitate a kangaroo boxing match is not surprising to me in the least. This is an article from the UK. Maybe it's surprising to you people, not to me. I have traveled the roads of this country, and I have seen zoos like you can't possibly imagine. Hey, Jesse, you were right about drug pricing problems. The companies have negotiated with other nations for cheap prices. They sold the American public that we must avoid price limits to keep a free market in medical research going. Years ago, my doctor sent me to Universal Drugstore in Canada. I could easily order my drugs from them at a third of the cost. A third of the cost. Love the show, says her name is Diane. Look, like I said about the drug pricing because of that pharmaceutical executive order. Me personally, I don't believe in price controls. Me personally, I don't want the president or the Congress or anybody ever to look at an industry and say, you stop doing this. You have to do that. You sell this at that. You don't sell this at that. And because that's my instinct, when the president signs an executive order saying, hey, you can't rip us off anymore, immediately your first instinct is, whoa, wait a minute, maybe that's overstepping his authority. But hold on, we already had price controls and we were getting screwed. Don't think, whether you love the executive order or not, is really not important. You can hate it, I don't care. But don't think for a second that the pharmaceutical industry is the free market in this country. It's anything but the free market. They have partnered with the federal government to fleece the American taxpayer and make a fortune. And I realize pharmaceuticals have changed lives and saved lives. I'm not anti all pharmaceuticals, contrary to what people think. But that huge cartel has partnered with the government. It's the furthest thing from a free market. All right, let's talk about the DNC. David Hogg is out. Maybe some more emails before we do that. Then we talk to you about switching up your cell phone service. Because your cell phone service is garbage. I mean, the service itself is probably fine, but Verizon's a garbage company. They're horrible. AT&T, T-Mobile. Besides the education system, corporate America is the most damaging thing the communists have ever taken over in this country. They realized that they could get into those boardrooms and they could use all that corporate money against you and your values and your country, and they did it. And Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile have been willing participants in that. Pure Talk never did. Pure Talk said thanks, but no thanks. We love America. And Pure Talk does this for half the cost. Our bill got cut in half when we switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk. We didn't lose coverage at all. They're on the same 5G network. Right now, they're giving out brand new smartphones, brand new Samsung Galaxy for $35 a month. Qualifying plans start at $35 a month, and that gets you a free phone? Switch. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out?
catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can download the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, you know how much I hate to do this. You know how much it pains me to sit here and talk about me being right about something. Telling you something, making a prediction about something, and it turning out to be true. That pains the Oracle when I have to do that. But sadly, I'm going to have to do that once again. You see, remember all the times that we've talked about street communists versus elite communists? How now and forever, there have always been two different divisions. There are the people who actually have power, the politicians and media people and rich people and professors and the elite power. They're the ones that actually have the power. And then there are the true believers, the activists, the street animals, if you will. The people you see dancing naked in the streets, those are the street communists, the street animals. They both serve a purpose. The elites want something destroyed or agitation done. They call on the streets and the streets do it. The streets then, of course, need legal protection and the elites provide it. It's this really gross thing. But all human beings, you, me, and everybody, all human beings enjoy the finer things in life. Everybody does. At some point in time, you don't want to eat at Long John Silver anymore. You want to eat at Red Lobster. You want to upgrade. At some point in time. That's just human nature. Maybe you'll get to do that. Maybe you won't. Not that there's anything wrong with Long John Silver, but at some point you want to upgrade. Street animals, they don't want to be street animals. They're usually stupid. They're usually mentally ill and stupid. Lots of times they're on drugs. Horrible family life. Just basically savages. And they don't want to be yelling and screaming and throwing bricks and doing all this other stuff with the stupid signs. I mean, I told you about that time I went to the Supreme Court protest of Brett Kavanaugh, and they had some young lady up there without a top on, freaking no top on in public, and all kinds of drawing, weird drawing all over herself, and she just stood there like a statue the whole time. And I remember thinking about how sad that was as I sat there staring at her, and I remember thinking to myself, that has to be the most miserable human being. She just looked miserable. So street animals are miserable, and they don't want to be street animals forever. If possible, they want to graduate into the elite circles, where the food gets better, the hotels go from being 2-star to 5-star, the clothes get more comfortable, first-class air travel, people know your name. They want to make the transition. And they're allowed to. With one little caveat, you see. The elites are not actually there for communism. Communism's just a vehicle they use to get more power. They're not true believers. John Kerry, as much as he may claim, he doesn't actually believe the climate is changing on the planet. Otherwise, he wouldn't fly private. He doesn't believe it at all. He knows that's a good way to get more money and power. You see, you are allowed as a street animal, as a savage, you are allowed to come into elite circles, but you can't come with everything you currently have, meaning the barbaric, animalistic things about you, they have to be left behind. And if they're not left behind, then what's going to happen is you're going to cause problems for the elites, and that they will never, ever tolerate. The example we've used all the time, because it's the greatest one and it's one I predicted, I told you it was coming, was Jamal Bowman. Congressman from New York. He's a lifelong street animal. That's what he always did. Just animal this, animal that, street activism, all that stuff. Gets enough support to run for Congress. Runs for Congress, gets elected. Hey, good for you. makes the transition. No more street animal. You get to be a member of Congress. But he can't help himself. He's a barbarian. And so when there's a vote you don't like in the House of Representatives, Jamal Bowman did the kind of things he did his entire life. You just go break a law or do something crazy because that's what you are. You're an animal. He went and he pulled the fire alarm on camera. And it was so bad for Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries, poor Hakeem Jeffries, had to pull him in and scold him for 2 or 3 hours, the reports are. And so, what are you doing? But Jamal Bowman didn't stop there. He couldn't help himself, screaming into the camera, kill all the Jews and all the other crazy crap that came out of his mouth. He caused problems for the elites. Now, you know where Jamal Bowman isn't anymore? He's not in Congress because street animals are never, ever, ever allowed to make trouble for the elites. Which brings us to another one I told you was coming, David Hogg. David Hogg parlayed that horrible school shooting in Parkland in Florida. He parlayed that into a pretty decent career as a street animal. Gun-grabbing nerd was all over the television every single thing. You should definitely give up your gun. All the time. Ended up getting a Harvard education out of the whole thing, despite the fact he's a moron like I am. And then David Hogg started to sniff around about the good life. Time to get off these streets. Time to get in with the DNC. You know, it's if you're a big shot at the DNC or the RNC, that's a really nice life. Not only do you make a nice salary, let me tell you, you're probably flying private lots of the time. Private jets, fancy planes, fancy fundraisers. David Hogg finally got off those streets and put on a nice suit. But he just couldn't help himself. David Hogg went on television and started calling for the primary of Democrat members of Congress who weren't far left enough. And now, well, here it is.
Well, the Democratic National Committee is engulfed in all sorts of drama over who should lead the party, even though this matter was thought to be decided months ago. Overnight, the DNC took steps towards invalidating the elections of two vice chairs who some people believe were improperly chosen over concerns the internal elections did not follow proper parliamentary procedures. As of now, both Malcolm Kenyatta and David Hogg remain vice chairs, but it's looking likely they'll have to run for their positions again. DNC members will have to vote on what to do next. Hogg says the attempt to nullify the elections is a not-so-subtle way to punish him after he vowed to primary some incumbent Democrats through another organization that he leads.
DNC panel votes to void David Hogg's election as Democratic vice chair. David Hogg, I understand that it would probably be 3 hours of misery for you. It's 3 hours of fun for us, but it would probably be 3 hours of misery for you. But David, if you're listening, sir, you should really listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. You would have known this was coming. Look, it might even raise your T levels a little bit too, for one, but you should really listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm not saying you're going to agree with me, but just politically, you would have heard my words and you would have known it was coming for you. And let this be a lesson to every one of you street animals who hate listens to the show and sends in your death threats. I'm coming to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off and all that other stuff. Yeah, whatever. Okay. They're never going to let you into the elite circles if you don't stop being an animal. Just a heads up. I know you think they're your friends. They think you're an animal. And they're going to demand you civilize before you come in. Otherwise, you'll be sitting next to David and Jamal in the unemployment line. Just a little heads up. Now, let's talk about the GOP lying to us again in emails. Next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we'll get to those emails in a second. But look, there comes a point in time where I'm going to ask you to stop lying to me. Even if the truth is ugly, not something I want to hear, I'm ready for you to stop lying to me. And this is about Republicans in the House and the Senate. I remember it like it was yesterday because I was a young, very angry man, fresh out of the Marine Corps, decided to run for Congress because I was mad at Barack Obama. And I remember after Obama passed Obamacare that GOPer after GOPer would tell me till they were blue in the face that they were going to repeal Obamacare. And it was not one election cycle, keep in mind. For you kids who maybe weren't old enough to remember, every 2 years, I think every Republican in the United States of America would run on, we're going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to take back the House and we're going to repeal Obamacare. And then the craziest thing happened. The GOP took back the House, but we didn't have the Senate, right? We took back the House. And we didn't have the presidency because Barack Obama was still there. And so the GOP House kept passing these bills to repeal Obamacare. Now, obviously, Barack Obama is not going to sign a repeal of his signature law. So Obama simply kept vetoing every one of these things. I think it was 7 times, if I remember right. They kept trying to repeal Obamacare. We're going to repeal Obamacare. And then all of our Senate candidates would do the same thing. We're going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to repeal. Elect me and we'll repeal Obamacare. And then finally, 2016 came along. And Donald Trump shocked the world. He won the election against Hillary Clinton, against all odds. Every poll said he was going to lose, and Donald Trump won the election. And so we're sitting there post-election, and we have the House, and we have the Senate, and we have Donald Trump, and I'm thinking to myself, whoa, we're going to repeal Obamacare. Man, what a child I was back then. Promptly fails in the Senate. They couldn't even agree on a full repeal. They couldn't even get a skinny repeal through. So the GOP falsely promised forever they were going to repeal it. And as soon as they had the power to repeal it, they refused to repeal it. Which brings me, of course, to this. This is the headline from LifeZet. House GOP unveils plan. Unveils. Whatever. Veal is delicious. Unveils plan. Hey, Chris, can you people eat veal? You can? Maybe? Don't you think maybe you should find out? Like a veal? What do you mean it sucks? It's not gamey. What kind of veal have you had? Veal is delicious. Now, I haven't had it in ages, but I remember it being really, really good. A veal parmesan or something? Yes, it's a baby cow. I don't like to think about that, Chris. You can eat it? I figured you people can. Anyway, unveils, not unveals, Chris. Don't get hungry. The GOP House unveils a plan to defund Planned Parenthood. To quote my father, if I had a nickel for every time the GOP promised to defund Planned Parenthood, I would be a wealthy man. So, Chris, go ahead and write this one down, buddy. I am telling you right now, the Republicans are not going to defund Planned Parenthood. Maybe you're sitting there screaming, why not? They have the House. They have the Senate. Trump will sign it. You are correct about all those things. But here's what you may be incorrect about is thinking the GOP as a whole. Some of them are, but thinking the GOP as a whole is the opposition party. As I have told you time and time and time again, there is a relatively small, and getting smaller, a small cabal of Republicans in the House and the Senate, and they don't see themselves at all as being the opposition party. They see themselves as being the controlled opposition. And they will pretend until they're blue in the face so you'll keep electing them. And every time they come back to the district And every time they have a town hall or run a commercial, they will tell you that they're going to repeal Obamacare and they're going to defund Planned Parenthood. We're going to get all this stuff done for you. And then when the moment comes to actually do it, they will never actually do it. In fact, they will stop it from being done. The Republicans in the House of Representatives are not going to defund Planned Parenthood. And if they happen to defund Planned Parenthood, the Republicans in the United States Senate will stop the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Write that down. Take a picture of it. Chris, make sure you make a special note of it, because I don't care what they're promising now. I'm done believing these lies. I know what is campaign material and what is actually true. And I hear a whole lot of bark from Republicans every single time they run for office about how many times have you watched a commercial? He's a fighter. He'll get back there and fight for us. He's a real fighter. And then all you weakling little losers go back to Washington, D.C. and get curb stomped by all the communists back there. Well, I mean, we have to do that. I need more campaign donations. I want him to like me. I'm not really sure. He told me this was important. Sorry if I sound cynical, but Planned Parenthood abortion, essentially, is going to be funded by you and me for a very long time until we start getting more involved in primaries and start electing people in primaries, who will actually do what they say. And when one of them screws us over, and they will, then we primary them and find someone else. And then if they screw us over, we primary them too. When GOPers in the House and Senate live in mortal fear of a primary, when they live in mortal fear of you, then we will actually start to oppose communism in this country. Until then, we're stuck with empty promises like this garbage. There, I got that off my chest. We'll talk about some of the Biden stuff, and we will get to emails and other things in just a moment before we get to those things. Speaking of abortion, if we have to fund it, at least we can oppose it as well. That's what preborn is. That's what preborn does. The government's going to steal your money and they're going to send it to Planned Parenthood. Why don't you take $28 right now and send it to preborn and save a life? It's tax deductible. Consider it a way of balancing things out. Tax deductible. Preborn gives free ultrasounds to women who are about to abort their babies. Free ultrasounds. When a woman hears that heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.